This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFK. If you're not already a member, consider joining with us and keep free speech alive.
It's come through a hole in the air from those nads at Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the USA.
It is? Democracy? Here in the USA? Say it ain't so. I don't believe it. That's what they keep promising me. I keep waiting for it. Welcome and good afternoon, everyone. This is Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, troublemaker, blogger, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, once again drafted into duty here to be your broadcast media. I am the guy from bradblog.com here every Wednesday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time, broadcasting up and down the West Coast on 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM San Diego, 99.5 in Ridgecrest and China Lake, and of course, coast to coast and around the globe on KPFK.org. Glad you could join us here today. Democracy in the USA? Really? We had an exercise in that yesterday up in Wisconsin, or did we? We will be talking shortly with my guest this afternoon, Ben Mansky of LibertyTreeFDR.org. Fella, I've come to know too many years in regard to this topic. First met him back in 2004 when he was the campaign manager, I believe, was his position for David Cobb's 2004 presidential run as a Green Party candidate. He is up in Wisconsin on the ground where he happens to live, and he will let us know just what things look like today in the aftermath of yesterday's unprecedented, historic recall elections for six GOP state senators. Okay, let's wind the clock back just a little bit, back to 2008. It was a wave election for the Democrats in 2008. Obama swept Wisconsin 56% to 42%, a 14-point margin, and yet in 2008, yet in that Democratic wave year, there were six state senators who were elected, who were Republicans, who were elected to the state Senate in Wisconsin. Even though the state went wildly for Barack Obama, at least according to the voting machines they use out there, these six state senators were in red enough districts that they were able to win and be elected to the state Senate. Those six state Republican senators were up for recall yesterday up there in the Badger State as a response to Governor Scott Walker's anti-union bill that his legislation that he has been pushing through the state since he was elected back in 2010. And it seemed to be a very direct exercise in direct democracy. Well, in order for the Dems, for the Democrats to take back over the state Senate, which they had lost the majority in both the state Senate and the Assembly, and, of course, the governor's mansion there with Scott Walker, they needed to win three out of six of those races last night. Indeed, they were able to pick up two out of six of those races, but not that third one, at least according to Wisconsin's election system, Wisconsin's largely, almost entirely electronic electric system. Though they vote on paper up there across most of the state, those paper ballots are run through optical scan machines, and nobody, Nobody checks a single one of them to make sure that the computers made by Diebold, Sequoia, ES&S actually scanned those ballots correctly. Now, last night, as this was all playing out, it was quite a barn burner. It was quite a nail biter. The first three races went to the Republicans. The first two were largely expected to go to the Republicans. The third one was a bit of a disappointment. It had been a neck-and-neck race, according to the pre-election polls. And then we were left with the last three, all of which needed to be gained by the Democrats. Well, they gained two of them. And then we got down to the very last Senate district that was up for grabs, District 8, where the Republican, Alberta Darling, was facing off against Sandy Pasch, the Democrat. All night long, we were waiting for those numbers to come in. The Democrat, Sandy Pasch, seemed to have the lead, but there was one county in that race, in District 8, where for, must have been, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours at least after the close of polls last night, 8 p.m. Central Time in Wisconsin, where we were waiting on the numbers, there was one county that had 11 counting units within it, 11 reporting units. Those are essentially several different wards that are combined together as a single unit. There are 11 of them in this county. We had the reports in from just one of those, the results, the reported results, the computer reported results from just one of those reporting units in that county, one of 11. What was the name of that county? What was the name of that county that would end up affecting the entire Senate, state Senate race in District 8 that would end up determining whether or not the Democrats regained the majority in the state Senate? That county was Waukesha County. Now, that name may sound familiar to some of you folks out there, to some of the listeners here on KPFK, to some of the folks who follow me and my work, whether it's at bradblog.com or here on KPFK, or when I'm sitting in as guest host for Mike Malloy. Waukesha County, that was the county headed up by GOP activist and county clerk Kathy Nicholas. Name sound familiar? Kathy Nicholas, she is the county clerk who discovered 14,000 votes back in the state Supreme Court race back in April, 2 days after the election had closed, when the Democrat had been leading in that state Supreme Court race by just a few hundred votes. All of a sudden, Kathy Nicholas found 14,000 votes that she said were not reported on election night. And that ended up giving the Republican, David Prosser, or David the Waukesha Strangler Prosser, as we like to call him. Yeah, look it up on Brad Blog if you don't understand the reference. That ended up giving him a 7,000 vote lead over Joanne Kloppenburg that she was never able to get back, despite a full statewide recount of the entire state, where we discovered during that recount in Waukesha, in Kathy Nicholas's Waukesha, bag after bag, hundreds, thousands of paper ballots that had been exposed with bags that were ripped open that you could reach in, that you could pull in, hundreds and hundreds of ballots, pull them out and put them back in. It was an absolute mess. Nonetheless, even with all of those defects, even with all of those irregularities, the challenger, Joanne Kloppenburg, assistant attorney general out there in Wisconsin, decided she could not afford to challenge the results, and the results stood, and the Republicans and Scott Walker retained the majority of the state Supreme Court. David Prosser was Scott Walker's former colleague. Those were the very same voting machines, the very same voting system that we were counting on, that we were all watching, trying to watch last night. You can't unfortunately watch inside an electronic voting system, an OpScan system. You just have to take the results. And when, because it's Wisconsin, they don't tell you what they don't give you the opportunity to actually go and look at those ballots and make sure that the computers counted them correctly. And it all came down to Kathy Nicholas. And last night, with the Democrat leading, everyone was waiting on Kathy Nicholas. And all of a sudden, here on MSNBC, the name Kathy Nicholas is coming out. Ed Schultz, Rachel Maddow, John Nichols from The Nation, who's on MSNBC all the time. He may be on the show following me on John Wiener's 4 o'clock report. Great reporter. But they're all suddenly talking about Kathy Nichols. Nicholas, the same woman that we have been talking about that we were following for months and months and months during that recount, when absolutely no action was taken by the state or by the Democrats to do anything about the horrible system that was exposed. And with all due respects to my friend Ed and Rachel and so forth, they did not cover that either. They did not even discuss Kathy Nichols by and large until once again last night, when once again it was too late to do anything about it. Kathy Nichols comes out with her numbers. The results end up flipping the race to the Republican, and she ended up winning. I did talk to Kathy Nichols late last night. I called the county clerk's office, and Kathy actually answered the phone and said, well, the delay was due to absentee ballots. It took longer than expected to scan them or something like that. During the day, there were exit polls that were carried out by some election integrity groups, including Wave Wisconsin, including Election Defense Alliance. They were heading it up. And things went pretty well this time. They were allowed to carry out their exit polls in all but one locality. That was the village of Butler, which, guess where that is? That's in Waukesha County. Kathy Nichols is Waukesha County. And when they showed up for these exit polls, I spoke to the executive director of Election Defense Alliance, EDA, and the national coordinator. They said that the police seemed to be lying in wait. They had instructions from the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, which has absolutely no authority over elections, to essentially not allow them to do their work right outside the exits, right outside the polling place. They had to be moved 100 feet away, even though the state election authority, the Government Accountability Board, had said they were perfectly allowed to do their work at the exit of the polling place where they need to be to get data that they need to use to compare against the voting machines. Because guess what? There is no other comparison to the voting machines, because we're not allowed to count ballots in the state of Wisconsin. Okay, quickly before I bring on Ben Mansky, another couple of problems. Leading up to the election, there was all sorts of dirty tricks going on. Dirty tricks, an enormous amount of money, some $35 million came into the state in the wake of the Citizens United ruling, which essentially allows unlimited corporate money to pour into political elections. And in the wake of that, you had all kinds of dirty tricks from the Koch brothers group calling themselves Americans for Prosperity. They sent out absentee ballot mailer request forms that had the wrong date, that told people they had to have their ballot in by August 11th, when the election was actually August 9th. And another group by the name of, what do they call themselves? The United Sportsmen of Wisconsin. They, too, had sent out almost identical mailers to the Americans for Prosperity mailer, but there said you had to have the ballot in by August 4th for the August 9th election. In truth, you could turn in that absentee ballot to your election clerk on the day of, up until the close of polls last night, August 9th. That's just one idea of the amount of dirty tricks that was going on. I might have time to get into some more, and I might have time to get into some more. Let me do this very quickly before I bring in Ben. Late last night, the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Mike Tate, issued a statement that they had found, quote, evidence of election tampering in the 8th state Senate district race. That would be Kathy Nichols's the race that she was overseeing. He wrote late last night, quote, the race to determine control of the Wisconsin Senate has fallen in the hands of the Waukesha County clerk, who has already distinguished herself as incompetent, if not worse. She is once more tampering with the results of a consequential election, and in the next hours, we will determine our next course of action. For now, Wisconsin should know that a dark cloud hangs over these important results. So what was that evidence, that quote-unquote evidence of election tampering in the 8th state Senate district race? Apparently, the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party didn't actually have any. At least not according to the retraction that he issued an hour later, which read, though we believe that Sandy Pasch was able to battle Alberta Darling to a virtual tie on her turf, we will not pursue questions of irregularities. Those heat-of-the-moment statements came in light of the uncertainties that arose from a recent election known too well. That he was referring back to the state Supreme Court race back in April that I mentioned. So he declares fraud, he declares irregularities, tampering with actually no evidence to back it up. Had Mike Tate, the state Democratic Party, wanted to, raise people's attention, he might have said, hey, Wisconsin, hey, America, not a single ballot in this race has actually been counted by any human being. We are not going to concede until those ballots are actually examined by human beings. He didn't. Instead, he declared fraud and had absolutely nothing to back it up. In the end, we are simply forced to trust in Kathy Nicholas, who doesn't deserve our trust, and neither does, by the way, any election official, no matter how much we may like them. So, democracy, as I say, is under assault. It is under assault again, continuously. That assault is growing. It's under assault by at least three ways. Access to the polls, photo ID restrictions that we've talked about in past shows, the ability to oversee the tabulation of ballots with the electronic voting systems we use, and of course Citizens United that allows all kinds of money to come in from anywhere. Oh, I forgot to mention that United Sportsmen of Wisconsin absentee ballot mailer. As it turned out, I did some digging at bradblog.com, found out the guy who is behind this mysterious gun group, the United Sportsmen of Wisconsin, is actually a guy by the name of John W. Connors, and what do you know? He was the national director for the Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity. He just didn't feel he needed to tell anybody that when he sent out these mailings. So, with this ongoing assault, let me turn to my friend Ben Mansky from LibertyTreeFDR.org, which I think stands for Democratic Revolution. LibertyTreeFDR.org, and from Move to Amend. As I said, he was the campaign director for David Cobb in 2004's presidential run. When I got to know him, and he has been fighting, his group is one of the few who has been fighting on all three of these fronts that I just mentioned. And Ben, before we let you solve this problem in the next 10 minutes, all three of them, welcome to KPFK, and let me know, do you have anything to add to my opening rant there? Anything I missed, got wrong, or did you want to add to?
Well, no, good afternoon, Brad, and I would say I didn't have the honor of running David Cobb's campaign. I was actually party chair that year. So I think we met through the No Stolen Elections Act that we were doing, and you were doing parallel efforts with Velvet Revolution in 2004. And gosh, it really feels like deja vu all over again, all over again, all over again. And we're facing some of the same problems. Yep. That we're working to build independent movements that are capable of protecting the vote and of strengthening democracy. And yet the reality is that in terms of resources and capacity, when the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin puts out an allegation that there was tampering with the election and then pulls it back an hour later, that impacts our ability here on the ground to be able to mobilize people.
So sure does.
He really took the wind out of our efforts for today. Whether he did that simply because he was angry at the moment and then somebody pulled his chain, which yanked him back, I think that's possible, or whether it was deliberate, we'll probably never know. But it reminds me of 2004 with all the election protection efforts that were out there, mm-hmm. and then Kerry pulling back on that morning. It's good to be here with you. I can't tell your listeners that Wisconsinites are driving straight ahead. This movement is really unbowed. People were a little bit in shock last night, but we've taken so many blows here in Wisconsin that people just picked themselves up again in the morning and we're back at it.
Well, good, because and that's sort of, the political angle, and I do feel that it was actually a victory for Democrats, if we can trust in those results, and despite the fact that the Republicans were out there, claiming they had a huge victory last night in Wisconsin by losing two Senate seats, that's the political side. That's the horse race. That's the stuff that MSNBC and all the rest carry on a daily basis. They don't look at folks like Kathy Nicholas. They don't look at the efforts for the mechanics of our democracy, and I don't see that improving, and I don't really see that improving since 2004 when the Green Party had to ask for a recount, and actually, we had, and most people don't know this, the two of the top election officials in the largest county in Ohio, Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, were actually sentenced to the maximum allowable in jail for having gamed the recount that the Green and Libertarians asked for. how do we get out of this muck, Ben Mansky?
Well, democracy is not going to be fixed from within the system. And the reality is that we haven't had a functioning democracy for my entire life, at least at the national level and in most states. What you're seeing in Wisconsin is a fight back where I think we had some elements of democracy. We have an electoral system which is based on faith in the electoral system. So that's why we have such a shoddy system in Wisconsin, because people didn't have a reason to suspect that elections might be manipulated at this level until really this year here. But what we have to do if we're going to win genuine democracy is we have to build it from outside of the political system from the bottom up. And that's what we've been working to do. I mean, for Liberty Tree, we do work around our No More Stolen Elections campaign anytime that there's a key election coming up where somebody would want to steal it. We mobilize around that. But we also think it's very important to build a movement to overturn Citizens United through constitutional amendment, and not to rely on Congress to do that, but to do it from the bottom up, from the municipal level up to the state level. And so that's why we've invested in Move to Amend. We think it's very important to build local democracy campaigns where you get local governments and municipalities that say to stand up for local people and resist preemption legislation that favors multinational corporations. That's something that we're doing. And actually something we're doing in just 2 weeks is we're bringing together all these different types of genuine pro-democracy activity to one place. We're bringing them here to the scene of the crime, to Madison, Wisconsin, for the Democracy Convention. And your listeners can check that out at democracyconvention.org.
Tell me what the movetoamend.org. Explain that effort to me, the actual mechanics of it, and because this seems to be, it's one of those three ways that democracy is under assault. It's a big one. All three of them are, frankly, and it's hard to pick and choose between these three. But undoing somehow Citizens United is key, and we saw that in yesterday's election. We're going to see it again in 2012. What happens at Move to Amend, and how do we make an amendment to the Constitution to undo the damage that was done by Citizens United and the flood of corporate money that has now allowed into our political system?
Well, to be very frank, a Move to Amend was started in an opportunistic way. We realized that the Roberts Court, in 2009, we realized that the Roberts Court was going to come down with a terrible decision in Citizens United that would build on this doctrine of corporate personhood. And we realized that it would be an opportunity to build a movement for fundamental constitutional reform in the United States. So we launched movetoamend.org as a coalition effort on January 21st, 2010, when the Citizens United decision came down.
Mm-hmm.
We were about overturning Citizens United through an amendment making clear that corporations are not persons and that money is not speech. But we are also about amending the Constitution in other ways. We support the Jesse Jackson Jr.'s right to vote amendment, because the Supreme Court has said that we have no constitutional right to vote in America.
Mm-hmm.
We support an amendment to strengthen the ability of local communities to go beyond the minimum wage, labor rights, environmental standards that the state and federal governments have established. We think that there's a whole series of reforms that are needed that altogether make for a democratic revolution in this country if we're going to have the capacity to actually govern ourselves in America.
And
we're fighting for that, and the way to do that is from the bottom up, and I'm happy to tell you more about that.
And does Move to Amend have a package saying, this is what it is, this is the amendment that we are calling for? Because, you know, the folks on the right, they're very organized. They can put their entire political agenda onto a bumper sticker, and, you know, it seems to me that to undo Citizens United, it's almost something as simple as a one-line amendment to the Constitution that says all of the above amendments and rights apply to human beings only. End of story. Adding something like that to the Constitution seems like it undoes Citizens United. Is there something as simple as that that folks can latch onto and start spreading throughout the nation, and how do they do it?
Well, I think there is something as simple as that. In fact, there are many somethings as simple as that. And so what's been happening is we've been working with our local affiliates. People have been affiliating with Move to Amend, building local organizations and state organizations around the country. And the thing that is the priority right now is getting ballot measures before the voters in as many municipalities as possible. So that's really our focus. We want hundreds and then eventually thousands of local governments to call for constitutional amendments overturning Citizens United and more. The language of those resolutions varies.
Yeah.
I'll tell you just from experience, it doesn't really matter that they vary a little bit here and there. The local people will pick, you know, the language that's best for them. The language that you know, I've been using, and we're actually are very close with the Move to Amend Executive Committee nationally to putting forward some language that we agree on that for the purposes of discussion, is for the purposes of this Constitution, corporations are public entities, not private persons. The rights enumerated in the Bill of Rights are the rights of natural persons, not corporations, limited liability companies, or other corporate entities established by the laws of any state, the United States, or any foreign state. So, you know, for us, to this point, the simple language has been corporations are not persons, money is not speech. But the reality is that changing the Constitution is not something you do overnight.
Right.
It's going to take years. We're in it for the long haul. And as I said, it's going to take, frankly, it's going to take more than overturning Citizens United. We had a democracy crisis before the Roberts Court ever held that corporations were persons.
And that's what I want to know is, you know, how do we move these things forward, Ben Mansky? How do we, I take that, and I like your constitutional amendment there. I'll take it. How can listeners actually help affect getting that on the ballot and getting that move towards an official constitutional amendment? What do they need to do?
The first thing they need to do is go to movetoamend.org and sign up and contact us. Let us know that you want to get an affiliate going. You'll get on our list. We have regular webinars and trainings that hundreds of people have been participating in a regular basis. They can come to the Democracy Convention in Madison in 2 weeks. There will be intensive trainings there. There's many different levels at which people can get involved, so they should just go to movetoamend.org and sign up. And the thing they should know is that we do have a long-term multi-year strategy. And if, you know, we're successful in the coming year of getting hundreds and then eventually thousands of municipalities to call for amending the Constitution in this way, the pressure will be there at the state level to begin the process of getting state legislatures to move.
Okay.
We think Congress might eventually respond to us. I have no faith in Congress, but they might respond in order to preserve their own power. But if we're able to mobilize in enough states and enough places, we will succeed in getting eventually to the three quarters that we need to make this thing a reality.
Excellent. Thank you, Ben. Movetoamend.org. You can also check him out at libertytreefdr.org. Get involved. Also, wisconsinwave.org is yours as well, right, Ben?
That's right. We got a lot of fights that we're involved in.
You do indeed. And Democracy Convention in Madison. Thank you, brother, for all you do. We will talk to you soon, I suspect. All right.
Until rely on you, Brad.
Thank you, brother. Until next week, I'm Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. This democracy is not going to save itself. Please get busy. Please take action. Pay attention to more than just the horse race. I will. I hope you'll join me. Good night, America. See you at bradblog.com.